Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to the Fightful Impact Post Show for February 23rd. It is your guy, Rob Wilkins, again, because Joel Pearl is unfortunately out sick tonight, and Cresta Starr. How are you, Cresta?
We're all doing a lot better than Joel. Also, guys, don't mind. I didn't realize that underneath my hat was green, so just don't worry about it. The universe is here. Joel, feel better soon, but we've got Rob Wilkins, number one stutter, best stunt double. Glad to work with you again, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm great. I got the call or the DM around, I think 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock Eastern, and asked if I could fill in. And I'm like, absolutely, sure. I mean, I wasn't expecting to get to work with you so soon. And I'm like, I jumped at the chance. So here I am. So
at this point, we're going to be challenging for the Fightful Trios title. Joel, Rob, and Cresta. We got to come up with a name because me and Joel are team Joel Star. So we got to come up with a name for Rob, Joel, and Cresta.
That sounds, I'm up for it. So whatever we can come up with, that's good with me. Well, I'll just start off here. We will be doing Impact predictions for the big show tomorrow that you'll actually be doing. You'll be doing the post show for No Surrender with Joel, if he's feeling better. Hopefully he is. And Steven Jensen, who does the Fightful Weekender podcast on Fightful Select. So those guys will be doing the podcast with you, if everything goes well with Joel. So I'm hoping that's good. What do you think of tonight's show?
Overall, tonight's show, let me actually bring my microphone close. I realized how far away from my mouth it was. Tonight's show overall was good. If you guys have been watching this show, like I was telling Rob, y'all know I cannot take blood. That last match put me through it. If you follow me on Twitter, I was complaining, but in the best way. Like, I enjoyed it, but it was hard to watch me. But overall, I think it set up No Surrender real good for tomorrow. Well, everything was good on today's show. What did you think about it as well, Rob?
I absolutely loved it. It was a very good go-home show. And I remember last week, one of the things that I'll say right now about the main event, like, yeah, how you were talking that you did not like it, or like you didn't like the how you don't like the
gore,
blood,
the blood. Yeah, I'm the gore. Soft.
I remember
WFT.
I remember I was talking last week. I'm like, I don't really know why they're going that route. Blah blah blah. I said, now I'm like, okay, I was wrong. I like it. I'm in. So good on them to prove me wrong. I like it. I love being proved wrong when it comes to wrestling because it proves that I don't know everything, which I sometimes think I do.
A wrestling fan admitting they don't know everything? Sacrilege.
Yeah, it is. That's the thing. I love learning new things. I love learning the business side, and I love learning just the different aspects that go into the business. And it doesn't matter if it's what organization is, it can be an independent thing. Agreed. I love learning. So, but what a show. And it started off with four of my favorite wrestlers that I love to watch anytime. You had Jonathan Gresham, Mike Bailey taking on the Motor City Machine Guns, Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley. That would have been worth the mission by itself. Like, yes. If you would have just told me, hey, we can only give you one match. It's going to cost you $20, but these are the four guys you're going to see in a tag team match. I would have been, let me give you my money.
I'm not upset.
I'm going to give you money, and I'm going to give you some extra just for giving me this bonus. I enjoyed it. You got to see two guys that never team up before, and taking on one of the best tag teams in Impact, and just in wrestling, in my opinion, history, hell of a tag team in Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley. I just absolutely love watching those guys. The match was, I loved it watching Mike Bailey just do his normal thing, like normal, just absolutely just brilliant. And Jonathan Gresham, I figured that we would see the normal like tropes. You'd see one of the guys accidentally hit each other, which mm-hmm. always happens. And, that's pretty much what happened. What do you think of this match overall?
I think at some point, myself as a viewer, and maybe Jonathan Gresham and Speedball Mike Bailey forgot that they were not an actual tag team. Yeah. They were so fluid together. And I'm honestly, I would love to see them as a tag team, but these two are so incredible on their own. The match itself was good. The miscommunication, at the end, I think, was just a nice way to cap it out, because I brought into them winning in the middle of the match. And I was like, wow, they might actually win this. But then it's like, why would you have the champions lose to a Franken team, so to speak? To me, it's set up tomorrow in case Time Machine loses, which I think is going to happen. You now have the excuse that Gresham and Bailey both worked over Shelley's arm. They worked the hell out of his arm. At one point he goes for a pin and can't get it all the way, or he goes for some sort of submission and his arm is like, and his arm is like out of whack. So I like what it set up. It just sucks it has to come with the oopsie poopsie. I hit you by accident. But even then, Gresham and Speedball were able to recover, kind of, because, I mean, the end of the match came after that, you know?
Yeah, and, I mean, this match was, it had a lot of great things. I loved watching Gresham hit Sabin with that stalling vertical suplex.
I am so sorry. I don't know where that sound is coming from, but it is now in hell. There we go. I'm so sorry about that. Well,
no problem. I've had that. It happens all the time on Coexisting. you had the stalling vertical suplex that Gresham hit Sabin with. I know Bailey, he had Shelley in a modified figure four, and then he hit Sabin with the twisting suplex. Mm-hmm. And you had Sabin go to hit a forearm out with Bailey, but Sabin hit a cutter to neutralize Gresham, and Shelley and Sabin hit the dirt bomb on Gresham to get the pinfall and the win to mm-hmm. finish it off. It was a fun match, good match. And like you said, they worked on the arm. So if the Motor City Machine Guns lose tomorrow, they have a way out to make it look good for both teams.
Yeah, because I think that the more you watch Motor City Machine Guns, the more you realize that they are a superb tag team. They're like, out of all the tag teams, I watch a lot of wrestling, but I want to say that every time people talk about some of the best tag teams, it kind of annoys me that Motor City Machine Guns are sometimes not in that conversation, because the way that they work together is almost like a second brain. And I will say again, Speedball and Gresham felt like a fluid tag team. But again, I feel like that experience with the Motor City Machine Guns came into play, especially at the end. I hope that tomorrow Bullet Club does win, so Aces and Bays could take the titles eventually off of Motor City Machine Guns. And that'd be such a great rub, if you will. You know, Motor City Machine Guns are like one of the, if you're going to beat a tag team, they're one of the guys to beat. I put them up there with like FTR and I'm going to say Aussie Open too. I don't care if y'all flame me in the comments, but I like Aussie Open as well.
Yeah, Aussie Open, they're a great tag team, and they're going to actually wrestle the Young Bucks tomorrow night on Rampage, so that's gonna be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's gonna be real good.
So that was really good. So we had that. I mean, that was really good. And now that you said Aussie Open, it's like, damn, there's a lot of wrestling tomorrow. Now that you,
yeah,
now that
you said that. There's a lot of wrestling for the past two weekends. There's been a lot of wrestling.
Yeah. So the next thing that we saw was a Rich Swann and Josh Alexander, like vignette, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I liked this vignette because they talked about a couple of things and they went back and they talked, they mentioned Kenny Omega.
Yes.
Rich Swann even admitted that he got his ass kicked by Omega at Impact Rebellion. Absolutely love that, mm-hmm. that he admits it. They went back. Alexander even said that he was backstage watching the match. And he said that Josh Alexander was broken after that match. I loved how he went in on that. And he noted that Alexander has always had his back. He made the one thing that caught my eye or caught my attention was the way he said that. He said, and I think the way he said it was just kind of like, it wasn't a shot by any means at ego. It just mm-hmm. the way he said it, like he's like, nobody's had his back. I think what I saw people on Twitter kind of mention it, and I think people were taking it out of context. I think he's saying since he was like a singles wrestler, you know, I know what he's said in interviews that, like him and Ego, Ethan Page, things like didn't work out for him. That's why they went their separate ways as a tag team, mm-hmm. but there's still respect there. I think what he meant was that as a singles wrestler, Alexander had his back. Nobody else has had his back since he's been a singles wrestler. It's what I took it as, but yeah. And that's the thing about wrestling. That's pretty good is you can take it however you want.
So. Yeah, no, I agree with that because I think in a lot of Josh Alexander's promos, there's been a continuity of I bet on myself. I picked option C. And not like you said, there's no animosity between him and Ethan Page. But when you are a part of a tag team for so long, especially a really decorated tag team, sometimes when you split, some people are like, well, this person, you know, so I understand. I get what you're saying, too. I didn't pick that up. But now that you're saying I'm replaying it in my mind, that does make sense. I think Josh Alexander has been very big on let me bet on myself and people having his back. And, you know, when it comes to Rich Swann, too, I do feel bad for him because they did a similar vignette last week where he was like, I busted my ass to go against Kenneth Omega. And then I got my ass beat. And then I've never had a shot ever since.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah, they played that too, that part of it too. Yeah. And then the other thing to finish off was Alexander says bell to bell, nobody can beat him and no surrender. And at no surrender, he will have to break Swann again. I like that. I liked how he went in on that and says mm-hmm. he's gonna do it again to Swann. And I really like how he dug deep into that. Like he's gonna do what it takes to keep his title. And I'm kind of wondering what that entails for Rich Swann. And we do have a super chat from MA Solko. He says, 7-1 odds. Swann has me thinking dumb ideas. So,
I mean, unless there's an interference, and even then, Josh Alexander has proven to be really resilient. I like Rich Swann. I really do. I don't see it, and this will reflect in my prediction later. I would love for Rich Swann to win, but I think the man to take it off of him is Macklin, unfortunately. And we might, unfortunately, have to see a mauling of Rich Swann to make him tough enough for Macklin. And I'm not saying that Josh Alexander isn't tough by any means, but Macklin is like a Tasmanian devil right now. He is so thirsty for that opportunity. After seeing people he's beaten get opportunity after opportunity or just waltz right in and demand something, you know what I mean? So yeah. I think this will really be a capstone, like, wow, Alexander, you beat the bricks off of Swann. Oh, wow. But I would understand because Macklin is going to have to be twice as tough as that to try to attempt to take it off of Alexander.
Yeah. For sure. But yeah, I really enjoyed how that went. And then, yeah, it was really good. And we will do the predictions and stuff at the mm-hmm. end of the show. So don't worry about that. We will cover it. After that, we had Deonna Purrazzo cut a promo ahead of her match against Giselle Shaw at No Surrender. Purrazzo promised Shaw that she would show her the best form of revenge. And it's not a bowl of chili, but a broken arm. And I I was not expecting that, but I did laugh because I absolutely love Deonna Purrazzo.
Same.
And I'm excited for this match because I love watching both women wrestle, so it's going to be good.
Myself and Joel had been discussing for weeks how well Giselle Shaw has improved. I feel like her trajectory is straight up. And I love the fact that she and Deonna Purrazzo are going to have a match because I feel like in that women's division, Deonna Purrazzo is a measuring stick. Like, she is one of the top five technical wrestlers right now actively performing, man or woman. I don't care. I don't care. Fight your mom about it. She's so good. And I think even if Giselle Shaw loses, she's going to look, I think she is, but I think she's going to look amazing in defeat because Deonna's going to make her work for it. Deonna's really going to make her work for it. And I cannot wait. Ooh, because Giselle has gotten really good, but now we're going to see how good you got, girl.
Yeah. And she, maybe she got some pointers from Mr. CM Punk this past weekend. She was at New Japan's Battle in the Valley, and she sat right in front of CM Punk and Fightful's Lars Fredrickson, who does our show, The Wrestling Perspective podcast. So maybe she got some pointers on what to do, but I thought that was pretty cool to see her there.
Yeah.
But yeah, this match is going to be good. And like you said, Giselle has been getting like really good, and we already know Deonna's like badass. So
yeah.
So this is going to be good stuff. But guys, get in those super chats and humper chats. We will answer questions as we move on to our next one. Here we go to a very quick Tommy Dreamer versus Jason Hotch in a what do they call that? A clock count? What do they call
beat
that?
The clock.
Yeah, thank you. Beat challenge. The clock. Like, I was like, it's not a countdown the clock, but yeah, beat the clock. This match went a minute and 35 seconds. Tommy Dreamer over Jason
Hotch.
Minute
15 seconds.
Oh, was it a minute 15? Okay. So we're going to have to correct that in the Fightful results page. I didn't cover it tonight, but still, it doesn't matter. Avalanche Death Valley Driver for Tommy Dreamer to get the win really quick. I liked it. And that's the way you had to do it.
I agree. I will say that this match to me was a nothing match. I thought Dreamer would have won faster, but Hotch and Skylar, stooges. I had to explain to people in my house the difference between a jabroni and a stooge, and this was an exact match because later on they ended up interfering in the other guy's match like a stooge. So you just... I like the good hands as a team. They are literally the perfect stooges right now, and I'm here for it. It sucks because I feel like they... I don't know. What are we fighting for? To talk first?
Yeah.
To talk first? Because Bully Ray's going to quote Macho Man Randy Savage, Bully Ray's going to grandstand a hot dog. So this time we're going to how we're going to settle it?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Yeah, it was a match.
That's a good point. Then we had a pretty good vignette promo video of Joe Hendry had a autograph signing some sort. I think he might have been in Texas, San Antonio area for that WrestleCon for Royal Rumble weekend. I don't know where he was, but that's where I assumed he was. But I enjoyed that. My favorite part of the whole thing was the kid. He said he wakes up in the morning, and the day he has a test, he just knows he believes in Joe Hendry, and I just popped. I always laugh at those because they're hilarious, but just that kid. Just it got me. Like I don't know. I don't know what it was. Maybe just because he looked like a I'll be honest, he looked like a little Rob Wilkins there a little bit. So a little mini me from back in the day. So maybe that's why it did something for me. But I laughed because it just popped me, basically. It was good. Because I too believe in Joe Hendry. So,
this is a Joe Hendry stan account. Yeah. We love Joe Hendry over here. I think I was actually watching old footage of him doing wrestling stuff and him making fun of people. He knows how to bring the heat, especially with the music video. So this is, I can't wait to see what he pulls out during No Surrender on Moose. I can't wait for the Dancing Moose remix. I cannot wait.
Yeah. He's just awesome. And I love that whole thing, just the autograph, like just different things, the whole thing. It was just, it was good.
Very sports entertainment, and I was sports entertained. Yes.
So then we go to Allison Kay, who was with Marty Bell, and she defeated Taya Valkyrie. This didn't surprise me. Allison Kay has been on fire. So match began with Taya getting some she attacked Kay in the corner, but Kay responded with a series of body shots. We then saw Kay slam Taya in the corner and then went for a corner splash. Taya was available to evade it and hit a corner lariat. Then she countered with a Meteora on Kay, went for a near fall. Match went back and forth for a few minutes, but as Taya went for a power bomb on Kay, Kay was able to reverse it for the strong zero. I think I wrote that wrong, but anyways, Marty Bell was able to distract Taya, and that allowed Kay to hit the roundhouse kick for the AK-47 to get the pin and the win. This match, like I said, went as expected, but I'm always happy to see Taya on my TV. Allison Kay's, I love watching Allison Kay too, but what do you think of this match overall?
I thought it was less back and forth than you had said. I thought it was really more Taya Valkyrie really was giving Allison Kay the business for, I feel like, the 90% of this match up until the end when she reversed the Storm Zero. Was it the Storm Zero? It looked like almost like, oh my God. I can't think of it. It'll come to me. But when she reversed that, and then check your notes, Cresta. You are a smart girl. That's why you wrote it down. When Marty Bell jumped up on the edge to distract the ref, that head kick, I was like, oh, that's going to be the haymaker. And that was what was able for her to turn it around. But I really thought Taya was, I thought it would be more even than that. I really thought Taya took 90% of that match. Yeah. She looked real strong. And the chest chops, though, to me, that was Walter levels of loud. Taya was really saying, no mercy, la huera loca, no mercy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she did go for the, I think maybe, like, I think you're right, because now that I think about it, it was a pretty quick match. I think maybe just the fact that she, Marty Bell kind of distracted her, and I think with the road to Valhalla she wasn't able to hit that, and that allowed, like I said, Allison Kay to hit the AK-47. I think maybe that might have played it, because I know she was, because you're right, Ted, she did have the match in hand for most of the part, and I think those chops, Jesus.
Yeah, because I was watching it with my friends in Discord, and they typically don't watch Impact. Because when I watch Impact, because I'm doing it, I'm going to talk to you guys. I like to take notes and pay attention. But this time I was watching with them, and all you could hear throughout my house was like somebody was just getting a spanking for not doing the dishes or taking the chicken out the freezer or something. It was bad to me. And even then, when she wasn't chopping her, she had her flipped and almost put her like 80 submissions. Like, Taya Valkyrie, not a single star right now. What you doing?
Yeah, it was good. You're right. It was a quick match too, and Taya had control, and they protected Taya by having the distraction. So that was what we call good stuff, pal. So then we had the Josh Alexander, Rich Swann contract signing, just a little bit back and forth until Steve Macklin interrupted and talked a little trash. And next thing you know, we see Swann and Macklin brawl a little bit, and that was pretty much it. I mean, a little pushing and shoving, and then they start exchanging strikes, and then Alexander tries to stop it, and now we see Rich Swann and Josh Alexander. Well, Rich Swann pushes Alexander away, and I think and we'll talk about that in our predictions, but I think you might be onto something about earlier, like with Steve Macklin. I think we might have a way to get him in this title picture now.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, but I think you're right. I think this might be a way we see this going now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting that when Rich Swann was apologizing to Josh Alexander for hitting him last week, Josh Alexander pretty much said, "You don't got that dog in you." So I know you, I'm not anybody worried at you about that. So I can see why Rich Swann always feels like no matter who he goes against, I feel like that's a running thing where it's like, "Swann, come on now. You're not that guy, pal. So stop. Come on, Rich Swann." And he always has to like prove himself. So I can understand him getting fired up, but even then, I understand where Macklin is coming from. How does Rich Swann get a title shot and I beat Rich Swann? I am on Josh Alexander's ass if I am Macklin. I beat everybody. Like almost 90% of the challenges you've had for the last, like, what, five matches, I think, with the exception of Bully Ray, Macklin has beaten. I would be mad. Yeah. I would be mad.
And Macklin should have beaten him, so
come on now. I mean, but Bully wasn't gonna try to wrestle Macklin, you know what I mean?
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's just me. Like, yeah. we had that conversation last week about how I feel about Bully. But yeah, so we had that contract signing, and I mean, that went by quickly, so I was okay with that.
Yeah,
it could have
I'm glad
worse.
It wasn't a segment.
Yeah, yep, exactly. So then we have Diener and Sami Callihan. And they had taking on Frankie Kazarian and Yuyu Yamara. Mm-hmm. This match, Diener, pretty much the bell rang. Diener immediately tagged in Callihan into the match. Callihan and Frankie Kazarian get into each other's face before Callihan hits a running back elbow on Kazarian. They just go back and forth for a little bit. Basically, Kazarian is just laying in some chops, and Callihan is basically getting yelled at for the most part. Every time he does anything, he gets yelled at. It's getting to the point where I think we already know what's going to happen tomorrow. I think they made this a little too obvious in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But overall, what do you think of this match? And we'll continue on, and we'll talk about who won and stuff, but I'm curious because this match, it didn't really do anything to me, but I think that's because I think they made this too obvious with Sami Callihan and Diener with what way they're going.
I feel like there are parallels, and maybe I'm reading too deep into it, and I'm looking for my tinfoil hat, and I'm thinking maybe I should put it on. But hold on, I don't know if this theory's that out there. Now, I have watched enough Impact Wrestling to be firmly on Sami Callihan as a scumbag, but I'm low-key rooting for him now. And I think that if we're going to really get deep lore, seeing how a Violent by Design and the Design is taking L's like that, maybe the Design is flawed. Yeah. Maybe the Design needs to be usurped. And at first I was like, Sami Callihan joining the Design seems great in theory. You guys are ultraviolet. He's ultraviolet. I think it'd be a great situation. But I think Diener is more concerned about control of Sami Callihan because he knows Sami Callihan will dethrone him. So he doesn't want him to try. So I understand where he's coming from. But like you said, it's making it very obvious that Sammy's going to go ape. He's going to go gorilla, and it's going to end up being on Diener. Because the end of that match, to me, made no sense. Why would you tell him to tag you in when he had Kazarian dead to rights, just for you to jump down and be like, it's about loyalty? Why would I be loyal to you if you're going to ditch me? When Sami Callihan turns on you, it's going to be the worst thing you've ever experienced in your life, Diener, because I think it'll end up with you being ousted, because it gives me that feeling, that thought of if Diener was the Design appointed by Violent by Design's Eric Young, and this is how y'all are still doing, the Design is then flawed. And if that's big brain wrestling, I'll be that. You know, I feel like I should have put on my helmet.
And I like how you said that, because that's what I was thinking. I'm thinking that Sammy's going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And Diener's out. And I think Diener is actually, I don't know how they're going to do this, but eventually Diener is going to get a face run.
Yeah.
Just based, I just have a feeling. But yeah, this match was just how you said, like at the end, it was very like, oh man, like, what are you doing there? Like how you said, like, it didn't make any sense. But anyways, Kazarian got Callahan in the chicken wing for the submission win. So Frankie Kazarian and Yuya Yamura get the victory. It was, I figured they would win, you know, I figured Kazarian would win because they're trying to do the, they're trying to create that atmosphere between Callahan and Diener. So this, I mean, the, them losing made sense. Just the way they did it was kind of like head scratching, but
it could have gone either way for me, honestly. Like, if they would have won, it would have made sense. If they would have lost, it still makes sense. But the way, like you said, the way they went about it just didn't do it for me.
After that, we had the Impact Knockouts champion Mickie James, Jordan Grace, and Masha Slamovich cut promos ahead of James's match against Slamovich at No Surrender. Slamovich told James that she will choke James out, with James promising that Slamovich would not be the one to take the title off of her. Grace said that James tapped out in at Hard to Kill. I mean, this is going to be an easy one. There's no way in hell. And I said this last month, I just don't see how the hell Mickie James is going to retain this title. But I know that's an early prediction call, but I said it last month, I didn't see her winning, but I definitely don't see how they have her winning now, but we'll see. You never know now, but
I kind of feel like this, that promo, they keep bringing up Mickie tapping out, and I feel like Jordan Grace is going to want that run back. At first, before tonight, I was sure of myself that it was going to be Masha, and now I feel like it's going to be a screwy finish. I don't know. Something about it, something in my heart is saying screwy finish, where it's a three-way, where it ends up being Jordan versus Masha versus Mickie, because I feel like, why would you keep bringing up Mickie tapped out? Why would you keep bringing that up? Unless it's a three-way under different circumstances, but there's a three-way in the future between these three women, and I don't know how that goes.
Yeah. No. That was something. Mm-hmm. You made a great point there. She does keep on bringing up that tap out. Wow. Anyways. Moving on, Callahan argued with Diener, Angels, and Khan. Callahan wanted to know what the hell was going on with Step 5. Diener responded by saying it was a test of loyalty. Diener told Callahan that he already made it further than he ever thought, before telling him that the design chooses who joins. This was kind of like, okay, you know, like, all right, whatever. But...
Dean is writing this down as he goes. He's like, okay, seven, okay, six, sin. Who's on tonight? Okay, you have to convince Scott D'Amore.
Yeah, it's like me, like, you know, like when I was a kid being caught in a lie, you know, it's just I'm going as I can. It's like
whatever you believe, yeah, I'm gonna say.
It's like a dumbass answer when you're like, your mother would say, like, if he jumped off the bridge with you, and you're like thinking, well, how big's the bridge? You know, like,
yeah. No, but I already came to the bridge. So probably.
It's like, damn it. As you get older, you're like, you all of a sudden go back to that you realize, like, oh, that was a stupid answer. But you know, we have a super chat from Dobby the Brain Heenan. Absolutely love that name. That video package makes me think somehow this leads to a three-way at Rebellion. And Masha wins there. That's a good point.
I was just saying. Like, it's somehow, like, again, I will give Impact continuity, because they will remember from 15 years ago when you got stabbed up in the shack outside of L.A. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're not going to keep bringing up that she tapped out. I think that, again, this somehow leads to a three-way. This might be a screwy finish. It might be a straight-up finish. But somehow this leads to a three-way. And I absolutely think Masha can beat Mickie. But I somehow feel it. There's a three-way on the horizon. I don't know how we get there. But I trust Impact to tell a good story.
Yeah. And that's a good one too. That's a good point. A three-way match at No Surrender would be entertaining. So we move on to the next Beat the Clock Challenge match with Bully Ray taking on Bhupender Gujjar. I think that's how they pronounce it.
Bhupender Gujjar, yeah.
Gujjar, okay. I knew I'd get it wrong either way.
Nah, you good. I've watched that. That was me the first couple of times. Like, oh my God, this guy's going to watch this show and be like, oh my God, Cressy, I hate you.
No. It's just like, it doesn't matter. I get some of these names wrong, and I can watch it for years. It just
happens to the best of us.
Yep, it does. That is true. Anyways, Jason Hotch distracted the referee, and it allowed Bully to hit. He jabbed him with a chain lock, and he won in what, 30 seconds, if that. And then he just had that normal face where he just looked like an absolute prick hitting.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
And you're like, well, at least he gets to talk first, so we don't have to listen to him talk again. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Man, Mama, that was garbage. I hated that whole match. I hated that whole situation. I felt like if Santino Marella, I know you don't like when old boy Mr. Dirty Dango comes and gives you suggestions, but maybe a suggestion to keep these two stooges away from the ring might be it, because like that was. Gujjar is a very good wrestler. That was garbage. I understand why you did it, but again, to quote Randy Savage, that means you have to listen to this man, grandstand and hot dog first.
Ooh. That's a hell of a call there. I like that.
That's how there's a few people in wrestling now. They're like, oh, when they get the mic, filibuster, tomato. Bully is one of them. Bully will grandstand and hot dog. Might even try to sell you an ice cream cone and an apple pie if you let them.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. After this match, they came back from commercial and we see Tommy Dreamer talk to Bhupender and backstage, and Dreamer just told him that that he was the future of the business, and that it was okay that he, like, hey, losses happen. He's lost plenty of matches, and it's okay. And they move, you just keep going and move on. And that was that. So,
plus, Bully cheated. You can't, if someone cheats, you can't feel bad because they're a cheater.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, I think we all had a feeling Bully was gonna, Bully was gonna get that one.
He's gonna cheat. He's gonna cheat.
Yeah, he is, and that's just his character. So we move on to the X Division Championship match, Monsters Ball. Trey Miguel taking on Crazy Steve with Black Taurus. Whew. This match, like I said last week, I was curious why they were going this route, and holy crap, I realized now why they went this route. This match was, I love this match. I know why you didn't, but I enjoyed it. It was, for what it was, it was pretty entertaining. I mean, it started like on fire. It really did. They went right away at each other, and we see basically Steve hit a series of uppercuts on Trey Miguel. He hits him with a nice clothesline. Miguel goes to the outside. The one thing I didn't like is they went to a commercial almost right away, which is kind of, it's like, And those, the, and just off a quick tangent, Impact commercials seem like they go on forever. So it's, because I guess it's the same ones, kind of like Raw. You just see the same damn one.
Yeah.
But at least you don't see the K jewelry one. So that's good. But anyways, this match got just filthy pretty quickly. I mean, what can you really say other than they just beat the hell out of each other? I mean, you had chairs, you had thumbtacks, you had staplers. You had Crazy Steve kissing a stapler. Man, like, I'm a guy that grew up on IWA 1995 watching Cactus Jack versus
Cactus Jack already know what's giving for.
So it's like this match, like, by no means is this up there with that, but I'm used to seeing the crazy stuff. Like, and this was one of those things where I'm like, all right, kissing the stapler was kind of like out there. I'm like, okay, I can respect that to an extent of where he was going. I get why he gets the name Crazy Steve's, what I'm basically saying.
Yeah.
This match, if you like those kind of matches, which I do, I'm really glad that what I'm saying in the long run is I'm really glad they surprised me in this. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they went this route because I was not expecting it to be as good as it was. And Miguel actually surprised me in this because he went all the way.
Yeah,
went all the way. And that was impressive to me. Crazy Steve tried to stab Miguel with a fork, but Miguel was able to avoid that and reverse it with a neck breaker. Miguel was able to get like the thumbtacks from the under the ring. Just all over the place.
Don't mind my face. I'm getting the
visual. I keep going to the corner and I see it, but it's okay. And you got to see Crazy Steve like pay homage to Abyss by hitting the Black Hole Slam. I love that, and I loved how they brought that up too. That was good. I love that nod. I love that because I love the Abyss. You know, growing up, I loved watching. Or growing up, I was already an adult, but I liked watching him. This match was just entertaining for me. I really enjoyed it. I really thought for a second, I thought Crazy Steve might have won this. I really thought he was going to get this victory. I mean, we had barbed wire in this match, wooden board, and what got Miguel to win this match with a low blow, and then he hit the crossroads on Steve with the thumbtack filled board. Basically, that's what got him the win. He's a bloody mess. Or Steve's a bloody mess as the show goes off the air and he's laughing. It's Crazy Steve's laughing, and we still have an Impact champion as Trey Miguel. And the show goes off the air. A great go home show, in my opinion. I know you did not like this match, like for the gory and violence part. But overall, what do you think about this?
I can put my personal feelings aside and say, if you like bloody matches, this wasn't that bad. I'm just weak. So between last night, if you watch AEW Dynamite, and tonight, I am just weak. But last night was worse than this. I will say that there is a certain, I don't want to sound like a serial killer, but I'll be that. Like, there's a certain artistry I feel like you have to put on those type of matches. So I give it up. Crazy Steve literally lived up to his moniker. And I will always respect that man for being legally blind and wrestling the way that he does. I tell my friends he's real life Daredevil. Like, he's really him. I respect Trey Miguel for this being his first Monsters Ball, stepping up to the plate, introducing the thumbtacks, knowing good and well his shirt is just a little t-shirt. I don't care if all of that stuff in that ring is gimmicked. It was still real to me, damn it. And that was gross. It was gross. And again, if you like that kind of stuff, this isn't no GCW. You'll be all right. I'm just a baby. But it was a good match. I think both of these men came out looking better than they went in. I'm just a little disappointed in Crazy Steve because it was a time where he clearly could have won, where Trey Miguel was not getting off those thumbtacks, but he wanted to punish him more. And I'm like, okay. But then, like, I've been a champion for Black Taurus to get the belt. So I'm like, so do we do this to set up so Black Taurus could take it off of him? Like, kind of like, what was the point of that? I enjoyed the Monster's Ball, but it was a good match, but it's kind of like, what was the point of that?
Yeah, why the hell do you do that?
And then why not put it on No Surrender Tomorrow? Because that was a good, that match to me was a free pay-per-view match.
And we got another super chat from our friend Dobby the Brain Heenan. I just love that name. He said Trey and Steve killed it tonight. Got a ton of time. They had creative spots and Abyss callbacks. They tore the house down and the crowd ate it up. They did. The crowd was into that match. And I love that.
When he pulled out that big old 2x4 with the million spikes and it was like, this is Abyss. I'm like, yo, I knew you were a wild Abyss, but what the hell were you doing in TNA? Because I didn't watch back then, but what the hell were you doing in it?
Oh, man, he was something. He was something. Him and, like, James Gordon. Jesus. Those two. Man. The Abyss.
Yeah, like this, I felt like this kind of, this whole match from at least Crazy Steve's perspective was a love letter to Abyss almost. Because like every time it's like, oh, this is an Abyss spot. This is an Abyss spot. Like Abyss is at home. Like, yes, yes.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's probably, you probably hit it right on the head there. Like he's like, yep, I like this. This is good. And I just realized I said James Gordon. I'm like, that's not, I'm thinking Batman's like detective. I'm like, what the hell wrong with me? James Mitchell's what I meant. Like, Jesus.
I realized bad word association because when you said James Mitchell, all I could think of is sorry about your damn. Like, no, that's James Storm, Tiff. Yeah. Like, I mean, Chris, like, get it together.
I'm like, James Gordon, what the hell? I'm like, that's wrong. And I'm like, because the first thing that came in my head was Jesus, the guy that plays I forgot the actor's name, but the one that's in like The Dark Knight and but yeah, I'm like, that's not right at all. I knew it, but that's what's great is I caught it like almost right away. I'm like, that's not right. I got to fix that before somebody loses their damn mind. but I'm like, yeah, that's something. But yeah, so that was Impact. I'm bopping myself over that. But anyways, Impact. That was Impact for tonight. Tomorrow night, we have No Surrender on Impact Plus. They're going to be live from Sam's Town in Las Vegas. Starts at 7:30 Eastern. We're going to go ahead and do our quick predictions here. The countdown to No Surrender is busted open live with Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray Summit. Like the Bully Ray Summit is what they're calling it. Woohoo.
How do you predict that? Because my prediction, I'm going back to what I just said 10 minutes ago. My prediction is grandstand and hot dogging, and then there's a brawl. Like, I don't know how that's going to work. That's my prediction.
You know, the thing is I like Dave LaGreca, but I think it'd be kind of funny if we see like Devon return and they get the tables and hit the 3D just for that.
You know what? Just for that, Rob, here comes the helmet. Okay. Because you said something I was thinking. And if not D-Von come back, what if we get Dave LaGreca to do a DDT on the Bully Ray for the first time he was on Impact because he was rude as hell telling him to shut the hell up and sit in the corner? What if this whole time this is all a ploy for Dave LaGreca's in-ring debut? Okay, I'm taking it off. Our reception's too strong today.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Interesting that this is on the countdown to No Surrender. Speedball Mike Bailey versus Jonathan Gresham. This surprises me that this is not on the pay-per-view itself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw someone in chat earlier say that they were surprised, but someone also responded to them, and I agree with this, that this is a great way that if you like Jonathan Gresham and you like Speedball and you're seeing this pre-show, what the hell else you got on your card? I definitely want to subscribe.
That's true.
This is free. What else you got going on? And I feel like if you don't know who Speedball is and you're a wrestling fan, especially after the year he had last year, and if you are like a fan and you've been watching for a minute, you definitely know who Jonathan Gresham is. That's free. Oh, what you got on your card? What do you got on your, that's a great way to make people subscribe. That like, not to compare companies, but if you told me that Stone Cold was on the pre-show of a WWE, WWF thing, I'm like, first of all, why is this on the pre-show? And yeah, what else do you got going on there that this is the thing that made the pre-show?
Yeah.
I think it's smart.
I mean, yeah, it's a good way to get people to buy. So I definitely understand that. And it's just, it just, like, it surprised me, and it's a smart way to do it. So I will agree there.
It's surprising. It really is. But the card itself, I would think the only thing that would have been on the pre-show looking at the card would be Khan versus Frankie Kazarian. Yeah. But even then, I feel like that furthers a storyline within the greater ethos of Impact. So I understand why that's on the card, because that could be an angle as well. But again, like, out of everything, like, everything on this thing is really good. So the pre-show is going to be, because I think even Deonna Purrazzo versus Giselle Shaw is also on the pre-show, no? Yeah.
Yep, it is. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a good pre-show. So
yeah.
But who do you got winning this this match, the Bayley and Gresham match?
I don't want to choose, because I am going to be the winner. Okay, Speedball is going to win, I think. But if Gresham wins, I'm great. If it's a DQ and nobody loses, great.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's the fan wins, you know, if anything. The one thing that I did, like, check on earlier, I was curious about this. Mike Bayley is 4-2 in career matches against Jonathan Gresham. The last time they faced was at GCW's Jersey J-Cup last month. And Gresham, the last time he beat Mike Bayley was at GCW's Moment of Clarity event back on October 23rd. So they, in singles matches, are Bayley's 4-2. So looking at this, I'm thinking Gresham is due for a win, you know, if you look at it that way. So I'm curious. Granted, this is, I believe they're, this is going to be a good one. Las Vegas, man, I'm going to lean towards Gresham, but Bayley has been on, it's always hard, like, to pick against Mike Bayley. He's just so damn good. But,
and it's also hard to pick against Jonathan Gresham, because in the same thing, he's so damn good. That's why, like, in situations like this, you know who wins? Me, the fan.
I win,
because this is going to be great. Again, I don't care if it's DQ, because even if it's DQ, I know for a solid 15 minutes, I'm good in a good-ass match.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, this is one of those things where the fan wins, and that's the best way to look at it. I mean, there's certain matches where the fan wins.
This is one of them.
I mean, that's how I felt before even, like, the Kenny Omega Will Ospreay match. Like, I'm like, I don't know who's gonna win. I figured, like, at that time before the match started, I figured that Will Ospreay was gonna win, but that was because I just figured that was just going to be a one and done, but it's obviously not now. So, but I figured we were all winning that. But there's just certain matches you get that with. So anyways, we both split there, but again, we all win.
We all win.
Deonna Purrazzo versus Giselle Shaw. We both talked earlier how Giselle's on fire. Deonna Purrazzo is always on fire. I don't see, this is a tough one, but I got to go with Deonna. I just don't see her losing. If she does, it's because of outside, like, interference or something.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, I don't see Deonna losing this. I see this be a good match, but if Giselle wins, shenanigans. It's because some shenanigans happen, because Jay Vidal is going to be with her. But even then, Deonna Purrazzo is one of those competitors that could take on, like, four people at the same time and still tap you out in the ring. So I don't know. I'm saying Deonna, but if Giselle wins, it's because of shenanigans.
You have, starting off the show, or, well, this is starting the main card, at least. Frankie Kazarian taking on the Designs Khan. Frankie Kazarian is going to get this victory. This is this is easy for me to say. That's a reason they're putting him against him, because they're already showing, like, some of the Designs' flaws already. So you got to go with Frankie, I think, here.
I wasn't sure about this one, and I want to hear your reasoning first, because my initial thought was, well, it could be Khan, because Frankie going to come out by himself, and Khan is going to come out with the design. Clearly shenanigans. After tonight, it's like, but how much shenanigans? You straight up left Sami Callihan, but Khan isn't on the chopping block. I do think Frankie Kazarian could win outright, but Khan, unlike Angels, hasn't lost since one of the design, I don't think. So I don't know. I'm going to piggyback with you. I'm going to say Kazarian, but my initial thought again was going to be Khan, because the design will do anything to win except help Sami Callihan.
That's true. That's a good point. So I just, yeah, part of me is just like, I think bringing in Frankie Kazarian would just be beneficial for him to get the victory here, especially with the way things are going for the design right now. The one match that I know a lot of people are looking forward to, and I am too, is the Bullet Club, Kenta, and Ace Austin, along with Chris Bay, taking on Time Machine's Kushida, Chris Sabin, and Alec Shelley.
We the fans win again.
Yeah, this is another one where it's just like, take the money. Thank you. Here you go, Mr. DeMore. I hope you had a good time with your son last weekend. Thank you, Mr. DeMore. You know,
it seems as you got your son sick that he couldn't show up to work 2 weeks in a row.
But thank you, sir. This match, man. I think Bullet Club's going to win because you said it earlier. They worked because of Gresham and Bailey working that arm earlier. I think, and plus, I think Bullet Club needs the victory. Kenta just won that title last week, so I think this is a good way to get Ace Austin and Chris Bay back on the good side, or on the winning side of things. I think this is the way you go.
I think that Kenta is one of those talents that you don't just say we're using Kenta for free. Kenta and even Kushida, but Kushida's been back for a minute. He's been winning. So if Kushida loses, that's not terrible. That's not terrible at all. He's been here. But Kenta, that, again, we are the winners. I see Bullet Club winning. The way out is that these guys got worked over the night before. Why did you wrestle the night before? Bullet Club now goes to management, has a stronger claim for we want a one-on-one tag team title, because we would have lost if it wasn't for the major haters, according to Chris Bay. So I definitely see Bullet Club winning this, and somebody going to sleep, and I can't wait to see that from Kenta. Oh, I've only seen it twice, and I can't wait to see it a third time in real time.
There we go. Impact Knockouts Tag Team Championship, the Death Dolls, Jessica and Taya Valkyrie, who are going to be hanging out with Rosemary, taking on the Hex, Allison Kay, and Marty Bell. Death Dolls are going to retain this title.
I agree. I have a complaint about Impact, and I hate complaining about Impact. I just feel like their women's tag team roster, something's gotta give, because it's Death Dolls and now the Hex. Like that division, you have a ton of great women, but I feel like you can't just have a tag team go against your tag. It's the same problem that I see in WWE as well. You have your tag champions. That's it. Maybe one other team or a Franken team, they beat them or whatever it is, and the other team breaks up, or the other team goes off into the ethos. And even if Allison Kay, I mean, even if the Hex loses, there's not anyone for them to say, well, I want a rematch, so let me claw my way back, which is kind of frustrating considering how deep the roster is. And especially since they just broke up Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans and Killer Kelly Taylor Wilde. Like, that would have been what, four tag teams already? So
I don't know.
I like it. I think this is gonna be a good match, but it's like, okay, what do you do now? I think it'd be a real gag if Death Dolls lose. Father Mitchell comes to take back Jessica to turn her back into Havoc or whatever it is. But again, my complaint boils down to, okay, if they win, okay, what now? There's no other.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on, you have the Impact Digital Media Championship dot combat match between Joe Hendry and Moose, and I believe a Joe Hendry.
I do too.
I think you have to give him this victory. He's The reason why is he's one of your most popular wrestlers right now in Impact. People are talking about him. And you have to keep that, rolling. You have to keep the person that people are talking about. I mean, I always love talking about the wrestling side of the business side of wrestling. And he's one of those guys that brings a lot of, social media looks, to Impact. So he's somebody that you need to keep that ball rolling with. Moose is one of those guys that can take a loss and he'll be fine.
Oh yeah.
So I think this is okay. I think Joe Henry should get this victory and move on.
I even think there's going to be shenanigans with, not Brian Myers. Oh my God.
Right. Matt Cardona.
Yes. Cause I wanted to say Zack Ryder. He notoriously said, who the fuck is that? So, so yeah, I can absolutely see Matt Cardona interfere, especially after last time where they had him changing the parking lot. But even then, I see Joe Henry retaining. I see shenanigans, Joe Henry retaining, and another music video about Moose. That's going to be my match of the night, just because I'm going to be laughing the whole time.
Oh, for sure. And you know what's funny is, like, what I would love to see Joe Henry, like, get away with it from Matt Cardona is just, like, give him an action figure, because you know Matt Cardona would just, like, let it go. Like, just, like, something that, like... Like, he's like, I'm gonna do this. He's like, what if I give you this? And then Matt Cardona's like, all right, you're good, you can pass. So, like, something like that.
Look at him like, I hate you, but I've been looking for this. Yeah, but I hate you, but I've been looking for this.
I can see that. And then he just, next thing you know, and he picks up his cell phone and he's like, yes, honey, I took care of it. Well, no, I didn't really take care of business, but I got this, you know.
And that leads between him and Moose having a program. Moose is like, how did you forgive this piece of crap? He's ruined our life. He's like, you see this action figure? He's like, he wrote a song about you doing this.
I would love it. I mean, that would make the whole show worth it right there for me. Just, I love it.
10 out of 10, yes.
It sounds like we both have Joe Henry winning this.
Yes.
Moving on to the Impact World Championship number one contenders four-way match. You have PCO taking on Brian Myers, Heath, and Steve Maclin. This is another one. Steve Maclin going all the way. I think they even just showed you tonight. They gave it away tonight what was going to happen. Steve Maclin is going to get this victory, and he's going to move on.
I think there will be a visual conflict where it looks like it's going to be PCO and Eddie Edwards comes out to interfere. But 4,000, God could come down and slap someone and Steve Maclin would still win. Yeah. So that's how I feel. Like, if Steve Maclin doesn't win at this point, Impact Wrestling will get burned to the ground by Steve Maclin. So.
God would come down. He's like, hey, my favorite champion is Miro, but...
Yeah, Steve Maclin with Pin Mirror.
Speaking of that, I miss Miro. Anyways, so I mean I think that's the easiest one to predict.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Impact Knockouts World Championship. We talked about this one earlier. I like where you went with this. But I still think Masha's gonna win this. I just really do. But I can completely see where you're coming from with Mickie James.
Mm-hmm. I think Masha wins this too. No, okay. I agree with you there. I just say, like, if Mickey does win, it's because of some shenanigans, like some deep shenanigans. Because even then, because like we've seen Masha mad, but can you imagine Masha losing to someone who she thinks she should have won against for some shenanigans? But even then, it's like, what shenanigans? The only person who would come out and do anything, maybe Bully Ray. But that would be Bully Ray trying to help Masha. But even then, Bully Ray doesn't have any need to help Masha. So there has somebody making it their Impact debut. What is Saraya doing in the Impact Zone? I don't know. Like something's got to give because I don't see Mickie James. I see Mickie James getting torn limb from limb, and I don't like to say that. And I like Mickie James, but
that's the way you can get Mercedes involved.
Mercedes Monet.
Yeah,
The internet would collapse on itself. Yeah. Imagine Mercedes Monet in the Impact Zone. Oh,
God.
I would spontaneously combust because that means on Thursdays I get to. Yeah.
Then I get another call. Rob, we need you. Crest is gone.
Cresta ran off into the sunset because she's so excited that she gets to watch it on Thursdays.
Yeah, we're trying to do a Thanos thing. We'll click her. We'll just snap her thumbs and she'll be back next week. So. All right. But damn, that would be something. I don't, I mean, that's me wishing in one hand, but I don't see that. So yeah, the next, the main event, going to the main event, Josh Alexander defending his title against Mr. Rich Swann. I just don't see Rich winning this. I think we're going to see Josh Alexander versus Steve Maclin. I think that's the way they've been wanting to go. I think that's the way they need to go.
I mean, I like Rich Swann. I really do. And Rich Swann is one of those baby faces where he's like, please believe me. And we're like, yes. But when it, I see him go, I've seen the last couple of title defenses Josh Alexander has. And every time Rich Swann cuts a promo, all I hear is Vince McMahon's music in the background. No chance. Yeah. That's what you got. And it's like, damn. Josh Alexander is like, he's really on a tear. And I want Rich Swann to win. But if you win, Rich Swann, Steve Maclin is literally going to murder you afterwards. You're going to go the way of Eric Young because Steve Maclin has had it.
Yeah, that's,
there's no way.
Yeah, if they did that, that's just like a transitional champion right there. So, I mean, that's
hear a bestial scream from the background from Steve Maclin screaming in the back when he sees Rich Swann pin. It's like, should have been that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like. It would, yeah, you hear a lot of screaming for sure. I could see that. Just see a pissed off Steve Maclin. And that's something you don't, I can tell that's something I would not want to see in person.
Same. Like, just, oh, no, absolutely not.
There's certain people like you're just like, he's not serious. But Steve Maclin, you just can't tell. He has that, like, that kind of look where you're just like, I can't tell if he's acting or not, but I don't want to find out. So,
yeah, I don't want to fuck around and find out. Not at all. Not at all.
That's one of those people you don't want to, you do that with. Don't want to fuck around to find out with. Nope. I'll pass. What we call a negative ghostwriter.
Yeah. Like, no matter what, I'm the one taking the net loss here. So, you know what? You got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah. It was a good run. But yeah, I mean, that's No Surrender tomorrow night. And after the show, you can catch the post show with Cresta, who will be here. Hopefully Joel Pearl will be back. Hopefully he's feeling a lot better and he can do that. And Steven Jensen of Fightful and Fightful Overbook, or Fightful, yeah, Overbook and Fightful Select will be here for that. I'm just going to make sure we don't have any humper chats before we head out. We do not, but anything else you want to say, Cresta, as we wrap up this show?
Impact Wrestling, I cannot wait for tomorrow. I think this is going to be a good card. I feel like there might be a surprise, maybe a surprise debut tomorrow. I feel like there's going to be a big old surprise, and I can't wait for that. Well, how are you feeling about tomorrow and everything?
I'm excited. I'm not going to be able to watch it live because I'm going to be on babysitting duty for my niece. But so I'll be having my own impact zone. we'll see. I'll be dealing with Steve Maclin in a different way. No, it'll be okay. As long as it doesn't turn into a crazy Steve match, we'll be fine. No, it'll be fine. I'll watch it later tomorrow night. So I'm excited to watch it though. I'm excited to watch. It's gonna be good stuff. But yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a great show. I love Friday wrestling. Mm-hmm. As I've gotten older, I know I'm at home. So usually tomorrow night's an exception. And so it is what it is, but I'm going to be happy because I know I get to watch wrestling. And but yeah, that's pretty much it. But tell everybody where they can find you.
Guys, you can find me anywhere you can type Cresta Star on the internet. Mondays and Wednesdays, I am live on twitch.tv/CrestaStar, where we go over Monday Night Raw and AEW. I don't play the video because I don't want to get copyright struck. Thursdays, I'm here with Joe Pearl and or Rob Wilkins and or Sean Rossap and or Jimmy. Whoever's here, I'm here. We talk about Impact. And on Fridays sometimes, like tomorrow, we talk about Impact Wrestling pay-per-views. Saturdays, I do Gaming Gone Weird, but this Saturday might be my last Saturday, so I'm very sad about that. So definitely tune in at 1 p.m. Can't wait to see you guys there. We're celebrating Black History Month. We're talking about weird games, weird Black history, and it only gets better with you. Rob Wilkins, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rob Wilkins. Otherwise, you can find me on Instagram at Fightful Rob. And then on Fridays at 3 o'clock on Fightful Overbooked, I host a show with Maggie called Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. And on Fridays at 5 o'clock Eastern, we have a show called Coexisting After Dark, where we interview different people regarding, like, usually in the wrestling media type area. This week we actually have Joel Pearl. We interviewed him before the food poisoning. Hopefully we weren't responsible for the poisoning.
You guys poisoned my partner.
Yeah,
that's y'all do today's poison parties.
Like, yeah, I'm like, I wanna work with Crest again. Here we go. Let's see what I can do. that was before. So we recorded that yesterday, but we had a good time doing that. But yeah, every Friday at 5 o'clock, that's on Fightful Select called Coexisting After Dark. And then I think this Saturday I'm going to be on True Hill Heat at 11 this month. So
have fun. That I did that with them a couple of weeks ago, and that was a mess in the best way. True Hill Heat is a lot of fun. Shout out to True Hill Heat. That's a lot of fun.
I love those guys, SP3 and Romeo, and it's going to be a good time. I like those guys. But yeah, so tomorrow, you'll both see us on Fightful Podcast one way or another, our Fightful YouTube channels one way or another. But guys, we want to say thank you very much. We hope you had a good time. And knock on wood, Joel Pearl will be back next week, and we hope he's feeling better. And we want to say thank you for tuning in today, and we hope you enjoyed Impact, and we hope you enjoyed No Surrender tomorrow night on Impact Plus. We will see you later. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.